tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello there, Ray Donovan fans. What's going on? Welcome back to the Ray Donovan After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking about Season 2, Episode 10, Volchek. I'm Matt Lieberman. Joining me, as always, fantastic and talented Miss Anna Koppel.
Hey.
Yeah. Isaac Johnson and Cornelia Stradwick couldn't join us tonight. We wish them well. They should be back next week. We have a very special guest tonight, Mr. William Stanford Davis, who plays Potato Pie on the show. Welcome to the After Show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a pleasure having you. So this episode, I mean, we're getting down to the wire here, people. Two episodes left, lots to talk about, lots going on with Ray at the end of his rope. We got Abby getting a cop to do a murder for her. We got Cookie on the loose. We got Mick pulling a job. Lots to discuss.
Hot episode.
That's exactly what I would call it. Yeah. And that preview for next week, man.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was saying on the way out, I'm like, man, this season is just killing it.
Right.
With ratcheting up that tension. Yeah.
How do you? The writing is excellent, and the storyline is just unbelievable. You know.
Yeah.
It's going.
Yeah.
The tension.
I can't think of a crime drama in the recent past that has been as engrossing of a character study as this one, into just the mind of this guy who is pushed so incredibly, incredibly far.
Right.
Everybody is just so very richly painted. When you came on to the show, how much were you given about Potato Pie and Terry's relationship? Did you and Eddie Marsan come up with that on set?
Most of it we developed as we got to know each other, and they didn't give us very much. At least with my character, they didn't give very much in terms of our background, how I got to know him, and we kind of developed the story of me owning the gym before he even came to Los Angeles, and us becoming very close. He becoming like a son to me, like the son I never had, and me like the dad, even though he has a dad, but the dad he never had, you know, someone he could trust.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah.
We need something to be sweet on this show, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk about Ray right up at the top.
Right.
I don't think we've ever seen him this pushed back into a corner.
Stressed out
emotionally, physically. Like, he spent the night at Ashley and Steve's, which is never a good idea.
Right. Yeah, anytime Ashley and Steve is like your safe haven, Yeah, stuff is messed up in your life.
Yeah.
This is where you're going. It's a safe zone.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to be pretty desperate. And apparently, he really did share his feelings the night before with Steve, opening up to someone. Intense.
And that's really not Ray to open up the way that he did, telling him all of his personal business, because that's his strength, is knowing all of your secrets.
And you not knowing any of his.
And knowing anything about him.
Yeah. What is it about Steve that that makes him feel so safe?
It's that he has that Tony Roberts kind of...
Tony Robbins,
I trust you, that almost guru-like... vibe, I guess.
This weird maniac zen.
It's really weird because this guy Ray wouldn't give the time of day to, let alone trust him with all of his own personal, little dirty secrets.
Yeah, it seems really uncharacteristic because the guy makes me very uncomfortable, and he just seems like the kind of guy that, like you said, like that Ray really wouldn't take seriously, and just seems like... Yeah, who is it? Who's this guy kidding?
Yeah.
And let alone, Ray Donovan. What's going on?
Exactly. This guy wakes up early in the morning, puts on a wetsuit, has a swim, and then stares out shirtless at the ocean eating papaya.
Yeah.
It's a weird guy. I mean, granted, that sounds like a blessed existence. But
I think when he first went, though, in the last episode, he was genuinely going to see Ashley, and I think he was caught off guard that this guy was there. Mm-hmm. That's just my thought, you know. He may have known that the guy was there, and he was just going to go there anyway, but I doubt it.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. So, in any case, he wakes up to discover that Bob, Ashley's stalker, is back once again. A few episodes ago, Bob had said the reason why he had kept coming back after Ray's, you know, protests and threats is that, you know, this guy Steve, he's a bad guy, you can't trust him, and now he says, you know, he hits her.
Right.
He's hitting her. Obviously, Ray doesn't like that, and he asks him about it, and Steve, you know, kind of like... He's very direct, but at the same time, he's not like rising to any kind of argument. He's like, that's part of our sexual life, and it's none of his business. It's none of your business. And Ray, you know, in no uncertain terms, is like, you put a hand on her again, I'll kill you.
Well, Ray believes Bob, of course. I mean, what did he do to Bob in the bag of the bat? He painted him green, he beat him with a bat, threatened him, and Bob keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. So I think that not only does Ray believe him, but I think that Bob is sincere. I think he really, there's more to the relationship with Ashley than we know right now.
Well, I mean, you think about this kind of relationship, right? And he obviously cares about her. It's not just an obsession. She's not a thing.
Right.
She is a person, and he's worried about her well-being. He just has no right to be this concerned and up in her business.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I believe Bob, too, but... He was also jerking off in her car, so it can't be like that he's just concerned about her.
Right.
Like, I'm just a good guy, like, just looking out.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, so, but I happen to believe him also, so.
Yeah. He has no reason to lie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
the way Ray beat him, I mean, why would you come back? If someone beat me like that and painted me green, you wouldn't see me again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he can't help it. It's like a sickness.
It's a sickness.
Yeah, he's addicted.
Yeah. But what's interesting about this Steve Ray relationship, you know, you remember a few episodes ago when we first met Steve.
Right.
And Ray was listening to his CD and actually took some of his advice and, you know, tried to patch things up with Abby. It didn't work out. But there's something about how free this guy is and how much he owns his dark side, but doesn't allow it to keep him brooding and keep him depressed and keep him all bottled up.
Yeah.
So, you know, when Steve says you got to experience the yin yang pull of the ocean and allow yourself to be put in a position where, you know, the tide could pull you out, but you're not going to panic. And Steve's like, "Come on, Ray, we're going to go swimming." And Ray's like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I'm not going to jump in the ocean with you." By the end of this episode, though, He strips off all of his clothes and he walks into the ocean freely.
Yeah.
And I love this. I love this kind of symbolism of this guy who realizes. I think this whole arc really is just Ray realizing that there's going to come a breaking point. It may have already happened, but that the way that he is living right now is not sustainable.
Right.
He's a man in search of hope. And this guy, as screwed up as he is, represents, you know, a kind of life that he wants, a life free of pain, where you can be the person that you are, regardless of all the dark things that you've done in your life, and still find joy in the world, and still have hope.
Yeah, I believe that he's searching, and I think that more than anything, well, you know, it's obvious that he loves his family, including he loves Abby dearly. You know, I really believe that. And I think he is searching for his own personal truth, something to free him, you know, because his family is, can I cuss on the show?
Sure,
his family's pretty screwed up. I'll just leave it like that. So yes, I think he's searching for that inner Ray that's just really a good, clean person, because everything around him is so dark and dirty.
Yeah. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. And I think that he, to an extent, though, I mean, I think that he's looking to, free himself in some way. But Steve Knight is not a guy who's free of himself and his demons either, because you know, he has this thing where he will just start beating the crap out of somebody
while like laughing about it, having a great time.
Yeah, hey Ray, it's your turn.
Yeah,
it's not normal behavior. And he also maybe is hitting Ashley, so we don't really, we're not sure about that either. So this is a guy with a fair amount of issues. too. And he eats papaya shirtless.
That's
so,
true.
You know, so, but.
So you think he's a charlatan?
I'm just not sure that he is the guy that Ray needs to be looking to.
Right.
To model.
I agree with you, but I also understand the appeal because one of the key differences between the two of them, it's not necessarily that Steve has no issues or that he has, you know, processed every bad thing about him. It's that he doesn't feel bad about violence. Like, you look at the difference between the two of them when he's beating the hell out of Bob. When he's beating the hell out of Bob on the beach and when Ray was beating the hell out of him in the bag or the bat.
Right.
You know, Ray doesn't like the fact that he's a violent man. He doesn't like the fact that he has deep anger. He doesn't like the fact that he hurts people. It's just part of who he is. It's how he survives. It's how he survived this long.
Right.
Since he was a child.
Yes.
Versus this guy has the same violent impulses, but he doesn't let it bother him. He just accepts that that's who he is.
But he covers it up also with this, I'm this good guy, I'm this savior, I'm this messianic kind of figure that comes to help you free yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And usually I run way away from those type of people, anyone who professes to have the answer, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's that guy.
Yeah. So Kate...
I just want to say this.
Oh, yeah.
As the actor, he really plays it well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really, even in the table reads, we were just like, you know, he's the guy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
He's very, very layered.
Yeah.
Very unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he doesn't have to do that much.
Not much at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kate McPherson's back in town. And of course, she called, like, why bait Ray? Why let him know that you're back in town?
Yeah. Okay. So I just feel strongly that this is just very silly. I feel like she has a lot of silly girl behavior, that keeps happening. Like, she calls him and she's like, I am never talking to you again. Like, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, I am never telling you the information I have on you. Like, you know, just that kind of stuff that she keeps doing with him, which is just ridiculous girl stuff. Grow up.
Well, she has a crush on him. She can't help it. She's attracted to this guy and she trusted him even though she knew that she shouldn't. And I think it's mostly just because she's pissed at herself and she's got no one else to talk to about it.
Okay, but she's still a grown-ass woman, a professional, successful woman. What is she doing with this girly behavior?
I think she's also trying to draw him out of hiding because she thinks maybe on some level she can get the information out of him. She wants to be right.
Up. She can, you know, gain his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
nah.
Ray spends the whole episode badgering Avi, who, like, their relationship finally comes to a head this week when Avi finally stands up for himself and says, like, hey, man, you're letting this all slip away. You know, you're obsessed with this woman. I don't understand it. You know, you keep giving me all these assignments that I don't understand. And Ray just cocks him right in the face.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't apologize. He just hands him the hard drive with the Volchek tape and is like, put this online. I'm going.
But he finally tells Avi, too, that, you know, if we don't take care of this, you know, I mean, this woman has got me, you know, crazy. I wouldn't say in love, but he's obsessed with her, you know. But the whole thing with Avi and him beating Avi up, it's gotten to the point where, you know, it's real.
Yeah.
As they say, shit's real now, you know. So, you know, I don't know if Avi knows the depth of all the stuff that Ray has his hands in, you know. From dealing with Volchek. I mean, not Volchek, but...
Cochran.
Mm-hmm. And what, you know, he knows and how deep it goes.
Even
all the way back to the stuff with Sully. I don't know
exactly
if Avi is privy to everything.
Even further back, you know, does he know that Ray and Ezra framed Mickey all those years ago?
Right.
I don't know that that was ever established in the first season.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so how do you feel about the escalation of their relationship here, Anna? Like...
I feel like it's a good thing. I feel like sometimes we need to have these intense eruptions to bring us closer together. Mm-hmm. And they both said everything, or the one thing that they each needed to say, which, you know, for Avi it was, you know, what is it with this woman? You're throwing everything away because of her. And mm-hmm. for Ray, it was, you don't get it. If we don't stay on top of her, we don't stop her, we're all going to prison.
Yeah.
So I think they each said what they needed to say. And now Avi maybe gets it a little bit more. And maybe Ray, maybe, gets that he's been jeopardizing.
Yeah.
I still think he has a bit of an obsession with it, though.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I want to talk about that, Stan, because that's a really interesting point. Because what does she represent to Ray?
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, on some level, all the guilt of everything that Ray's done, obviously he doesn't want to go to prison, he doesn't want to put his family in jeopardy, mm-hmm. but at the same time, she is his absolution. She's intelligent, she's on top of it, she's smart, and she represents, there's something very, very alluring about accepting what you've done and having it, and then not having to suffer anymore.
And the other thing that she is, she's fearless. Mm-hmm. Even when he talked to her, well, you know, she says,
you're going to be killed.
Journalists die every day. It's occupational hazard. I mean,
well, that just seemed kind of flippant, honestly.
Yeah, it did, but I still think that for her to be pursuing all this information about Sully, I mean, these are dangerous people, you know. This is not just your average everyday criminals. These are guys that would kill her.
Yeah.
You know, over a hamburger.
Absolutely. Anna, you gotta...
No. But when you said that, it made me think of, the fearless thing, you know, it was... Okay. Later, when they're having sex, she keeps pushing the issue about, you know...
About about the molestation.
Right, of course.
It wasn't even like... Did it happen to you too? She said, you know, did he fuck you up like he fucked up your brother? Mm-hmm. I feel like that is sort of a fearless thing that she did, and stupid, because ultimately she got raped. In a really frightening way. So what do you want to say about that?
You mean in the scene, you felt like she was raped in the scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed, and, you know, when you read the scripts, the things that you see, but you just, you know, because the table read, it moves pretty fast, is that when they were making love or when she was being raped or whatever, you know, and I don't mean that in a flippant way either, that she had her eyes open and she would not take them off of her. She was watching Ray in a very weak and vulnerable moment. And then she asked him, she said, you know, did he fuck you up like he fucked your brothers up? And mm-hmm. and she just kept her eyes right there at him. And you saw the pain go through Ray just thinking about it, reliving it, mm-hmm. and just hearing about it. It just went through him and he choked her, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
She risked her safety in an attempt to really understand this guy.
Yeah. So I think she... No matter what, she might be a manipulator, which all journalists, I believe, use manipulation, but she was standing in her power, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
She was using her power.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's very much about fearlessness and stopping at nothing to not just, you know, get the story, really, but like... To understand. She, this whole time, it hasn't been so much about what am I going to publish. She just wants to know the truth.
Right.
And in this moment, she's trying to understand Ray's truth. How could you be this person who, at the same time, is, you know, intense and you feel very, very present and I felt like I could trust you even though it was so obvious that I couldn't. How could you be that person and be something else at the same time? I want to know why. I want to be the only one who knows why.
Right.
Yeah. And in that moment, it turns on her. Because I don't know if she expected the level of violence that was going on inside of him. But she put herself in a position for that to be unleashed. And it was very terrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also upset that Kate is back on the case is Cochran, who's having the best day of his life. Or at least it should be. You know, the best day turns into a really terrible day. He gets a call from the president in the morning, the top law dog in the whole country. He wants him right there in Washington. Oh, he's celebrating. The wife is celebrating. You know what would be fun? We should celebrate with the Volcheks.
We should have a freak show.
Yeah, and he's like, you know.
But why does he already not want to see them?
Because he's bored. He's
And he's already checked Volchek off his list. You know, Volchek could, he's could bring him down. You know what I mean? No, he knows all his dirty little secrets. Mm-hmm. So he's already scratched him off, and it's time to move on.
Yeah, I feel like when Volchek comes in with that bottle of scotch, you know, Cochran is already prepared for this. He already knew that this conversation was coming. He didn't want to celebrate with them because he doesn't want to bring him with him. He doesn't want to get his hopes up. And he also, you know, he asks him, "Are you blackmailing me?"
Yeah.
And even though he's like horrified at the idea that, you know, he thinks that he's blackmailing him, Cochran knows that is very much a danger.
Right.
He knows. Exactly. Yeah. So he's going to prime someone else.
Yeah.
He's going to pick someone else.
Can't have that liability.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That history, the fact that happened, you know, before he was being vetted is too damaging.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think, Anna?
Well, I don't know. I just, I'm surprised he did it so soon. It's something that his wife wanted to do to celebrate. It seems like he wants to keep her happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like maybe one last night to celebrate his victory, to keep the wife happy, yeah, too. Just,
but you don't think that this new couple,
yeah,
that is like their new toy, they were priming, and he's kind of titillating his wife with his new
and I'd argue of, that the
man candy.
I'd argue that the new model is more attractive.
More attractive too, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that he was just priming the pump. No, darling, we got some new toys to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? That, I mean, sure.
Yeah,
I can buy that.
Yeah. But it's like almost like it's really painful to watch him dress down Volchek when he's just, you know, this guy is like, I've put up with so much. Obviously, he values me. You know, I've been letting him do it because obviously he's going to give me something. And Ray, you know, made the point to him, like, this is the only move you have. He is going to dump you when he gets this job, and his worst fears are confirmed.
You let your boss screw your wife, mm-hmm, and you're there watching, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, like, guys, just as like a basic rule of life, if somebody treats you like a doormat, they're not like building up to treat you like a king, you know?
Yeah, that's
not.
It's never going to get any better.
No.
Right.
It's only going to get worse.
That's as good as it gets right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just your boss screwing your wife while you watch. That's it.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to think of an analogy. I'm like, no doormat has ever become a hat rack, but that's still, someone is still putting stuff on you.
Right.
Yeah. You're not a person.
Right.
And then, you know, he calls in Ray. He's very concerned. Like, we got to take care of this. You got to take her out. And Ray is adamant, no killing. No killing. That's the thing with Ray, is he has had to kill people. He has killed a couple of people. He does not want to be a killer. He does not consider himself a killer. It's not something that he is pushed to lightly. And also, once again, obsessed with the woman.
Right.
Doesn't want to see her die.
Right.
And he pulls out the pin on this grenade, this Volchek video grenade. I'm just like, look, I finally have something on you. You can't touch me. I'm going to take care of this. You know,
right,
don't do anything stupid. And Cochran is just furious. Goes into Volchek's office and just tears him apart and lets him know, yeah, I've been fucking your wife even when you weren't there.
Right.
Yeah. So you want to be a director? I'll make you a director. Bismarck, North Dakota. How's that? You think the wife's going to go up there? Hmm?
It should have been a murder suicide, you know?
Yeah, you thought for a second he brings in that gun into that restaurant. You think he's going to take him out too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, I even thought that he was going to go from Cochran to Cochran's wife.
Right.
And kill her.
Yeah.
But then when he shoots himself, it's just horrifying.
It's horrifying, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think he's really screwing his wife? Or do you think he was just saying that?
Oh, no. I think he was.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. She's very pretty.
Yeah.
She's very pretty.
She's very pretty.
That's all.
And, you know, and his wife is very matronly and very, not just matronly in her presence, but just in her being. You know, she mothers him more. She dotes over him more than she, you know, treats him like a wife.
It's less about desire and more about caretaking.
Caretaking.
But you know what I noticed tonight is he was like, he just gets this promotion. It's amazing. They're going to start vetting me right away. She was like, this is unbelievable. Congratulations. Next up, Washington. You know, I need to lose weight. Like, how did this become about you all of a sudden? Just, like, within an instant, it was...
But don't you think that she's kind of been, like, the puppet master with him?
I think 100%.
Yeah,
she's been grooming him for this.
Yeah.
And now that it's happened, she sees an opportunity. Well, I'm going to be in the public eye now.
Now it's her moment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, at the very least, I need to be in better shape to capitalize on our moment.
Right.
You know, and also Washington is a completely different place. She's got to be in top shape if she wants to find another couple.
Right.
For that. And that's like, she goes from, I need to lose weight to, let's sleep with another couple. So it's not just like that she's matronly with him. She knows what she wants.
Right.
And she doesn't necessarily want him.
Right.
She's married to the power. She's married to the star on the rise. And, you know, she uses him to get what she wants. Which is young, hot FBI agents who are hungry for promotions,
right.
Let's say.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're just going to talk really quickly about iTunes, and we're going to jump right back in.
Sure.
Folks, I say it every week, only because it's the truth. What is the truth? That we need you to go to iTunes, rate and review this show and any of the shows that you watch or you on YouTube or you listen to here on AfterBuzz TV. And I'll tell you why once again. It is the best way for you to support us. We put out between 60 and 80 hours of free after-show programming every single week. It's a crazy intense undertaking, and we, you know, we want to give you the best possible after show programming all through the week. So these ratings and reviews, they help us get our sponsors, they keep our lights on and our doors open. It keeps our shows searchable so more people can find these wonderful podcasts and enjoy them just like you. And it's also the only way that we know that we're doing a good job. We're delivering the best possible Ray Donovan after show that we possibly can for you. So we really, really appreciate all that feedback. It helps us out. Thank you. All right. So another side of this, this not a coin. Coin doesn't have multiple sides. It has two sides. Another side of this polygon, let's say, is Cookie Brown. Cookie Brown, who has done the unthinkable, who has scarred Ray's daughter for life, and he is still out there. And we're pretty sure, but we can't be entirely sure that Cookie doesn't know. I feel like he doesn't, but at the same time, the way Omar Dorsey is playing him...
He's really playing him really, really...
There's such like a beautiful
best.
Intelligence and arrogance to this guy.
Right.
And he's like, you know, if you've ever seen like a lion like looking at its prey and studying it and judging the right moment to strike, that's how I feel like watching him.
It's almost like he's two steps ahead all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's even got Ray baffled. The thing I really liked when they met in the office was how Ray covered, you know, as an actor, I'm always looking, you know, that's one of the things about working with these guys, watching them work is like being in a master class,
mm-hmm.
watching how he covered his contempt for the guy.
Yeah.
You know, he was just, you know, yeah, okay, you know, I'll get you whatever it is you need. You know, but I know you're trying to kill my daughter. I got my eyes on you, but he's still not tipping his hand.
Yeah.
You know, but Omar's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not tipping his hand either.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, well, Omar Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst part about this, you know, Ray made sure that Cookie got what he wanted. He got all the rights to all of Recon's music, all of Marvin's music.
Yep.
But now he's a client of Lee and Ezra. And as he said, okay, so now I have access to him.
That's what I mean by him being always a step ahead. You know, it's like, whoa.
Exactly. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sees this guy is not only a potential opponent, he's also a very useful tool. And I want him under my thumb. I want him working for me. Because he is very effective.
Very effective.
Yeah. I respect this guy. I respect him so much. I don't want him to be an equal anymore. I want him to be working for me.
Right.
So there's this potential tape of the shooting. So Ray goes down to Stockarazzi. Always fun to go back. Makes this deal, $1 million for the tape. Hopefully we're going to see that pop up by the end of the season. I have to imagine that it will. We got to keep moving, unfortunately, just because we're running low on time. But so he has a scene with Abby, has a brief scene with Bridget and Connor. You know, obviously he cares about his family, but they're so estranged right now with everything that's gone on this season. Mm-hmm. You know, Abby refuses to let him touch her. She's so convinced that they are not safe. So convinced that Cookie knows that that Bridget saw, and she doesn't know what to do. We have this scene where I don't even think Abby knows what she's doing when she want. We're going to get to that in a minute. I want to talk about Bridget and Connor first. I didn't say a word. The scene where
say or
the
give
scene
a look
where she's out in Malibu and she wanders into this makeup store in a daze and lights up a cigarette. Like, she's not even thinking. She doesn't even know where she is. She's that out of it. You know, she has this nightmare where Cookie just gets into the house and just marches right upstairs and shoots Bridget.
But I feel like I like this part of Abby where she cares about her children.
Sure.
And, like, drove them to school. Mm-hmm.
It just takes a murder. It just takes a murder to get Abby Donovan to be a mother.
Some mothers never check back in, you know?
That's true.
So, I appreciate this part of her now.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's in there, and this woman offers her a makeover, and she's like, just do it and don't talk. Don't talk. Just do it. And she calls up Jim, you know, I need to talk to you. She goes down to the police station. He doesn't respond. He knows that she's just trouble at this point. And he's like very surprised to see her. She's like, I need to talk to you. Takes him outside, starts making out with him, and is like, listen, you need to take this guy out. He's like, are you kidding? I'm a cop. I can't do it. She's like, plant some drugs on him then. I can't do that. I'm a police officer. I care about my job. What are you doing? Who are you? Who is this person that I met at a gun range and very quickly have allowed to take up a large portion of my life and my morality?
Well, you met at a gun range. That kind of says something.
Yeah, that's true. You know?
Yeah, I mean, his morality. Don't stop. Just stop.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was like, she was like, I need to go get a cake for my son's birthday. He's like, oh, come on, let's just have sex.
Yeah.
Your son will have other birthdays.
Yeah. Let's just get one in first.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's okay with that, but he draws the line at planting drugs on an innocent man. Well, guilty man, but unproven.
But this is how she's just so used to dealing with Ray,
mm-hmm.
and this is how Ray operates, you know.
Sexual bargaining.
And right, and can I just tell you to do something that's, you know, morally, legally questionable and take care of this. Make this go away.
Yeah.
And, that's not how everybody operates. It's, you know, it's very upsetting to her. So she says something else that will usually get to Ray, you know, be a man.
Yeah.
So she just doesn't understand that you can't treat all men that way.
Yeah. And just like that he's being a man and saying, no, I have principles. You know.
But what ultimately happens?
He loses those principles in the face of the almighty Cookie.
And Abby has sex with him because she's a prostitute.
Well, okay. It's a harsh word. But she is somebody who uses sex to her advantage and to make her defend herself.
Oh my God.
When you exchange sex for goods or services,
everyone does that.
I don't think everybody does it as directly as Abby does.
Right,
or
as bald face.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oops.
Yes. Wow.
So she has sex with him, and she is going to continue to have sex with him in exchange for taking care of her Cookie Brown problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
just hope Bridget appreciates how hard her mom has had to work.
Seriously.
Yeah.
At least for once. Abby is on top of it.
That's funny. I love it.
Thanks, Stan. So we're gonna see where that goes in the next couple episodes. Bridget is having some trouble at school. This like random girl comes up to her. I'm like, and you know, I just like as soon as she sits down, I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, she's like, hey, you know, oh man, that funeral, huh? There's gonna be all kinds of attention. Your picture is gonna be everywhere. And she's like, and Bridget's like, yeah, I really don't want that. It's like, oh no. No, you're right. So if you need somebody to like be there with you and be in like all those pictures, I mean, like, you know, I have like an album dropping, like I'm you know, future pop star personality, you know, I've got like a wellness brand
Do you see the director's cut of this? What are
you? No,
like,
but like that's what I'm saying. It's like, I mean, I used to work in reality TV, and it's just like I can see the greed in her eyes.
The wheels turning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is my moment. Attention, celebrity. Kim Kardashian. Perfect. And, you know, Bridget, quite rightly, is like, screw off. I'm going to pull my brother out of a class because I have the power to do that, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, like, when your sister is, your sister's brother just got, or sorry, your sister's boyfriend just got shot in the street, you can
give you a little leeway
to go eat M&M's in the yard.
Yeah,
and they're probably afraid of Connor, so.
Oh, that's true, because he's crazy.
Yeah.
They'll push you down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mess with the Donovan. You don't mess with the Donovans.
Yeah. All right. So the other side of things, Mickey, Shorty, planning this job. And I'm loving watching the wheels turn with Mick as he's planning this thing. Ronald loses all of his money and his watch, the beautiful watch at the poker table.
Yeah. Hollywood Park.
Yeah. Desperate. And I love the corruption of Ronald by Mick over the last few episodes, and outright saying, you know, why is it that Ray can pay you to be a dirty cop and I can't pay you?
Right. Over the last few episodes? Yeah. I mean, when we meet him, you know,
he was already corrupt.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but like Mickey winning him over.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, as they say, money talks and bullshit walks.
Exactly.
He needed the money. He needs some money, and Mickey knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey is slick as a barrel of snakes, man. He is really a smart old buzzard, you know. And he, just like Ray, he gets your little secrets or your little weaknesses, and he uses that to manipulate.
You know, and he uses people's greed against them.
He uses it against them.
Case in point, poor Terry. Terry, who so badly wants to move to Ireland. Francis comes to see him, and she's like, let's just go. Let's just go. And it's like the moment in every movie or every TV show where you're like, go! Great! Go! Just she's absolutely right. Just go. And he's so stuck in his principles. Well, I mean, I don't know why they have to move to Ireland specifically, but it's their dream.
No. It's been their dream for 2 weeks. And she's talking about taking...
It's Terry's dream.
And she's talking about taking her kids' college fund money to move
she
there.
She earned it.
No. And no. No. And... You know, he's talking about getting involved in this heist because he has nothing left. When just a second ago, Francis is like, you know, I love you, let's move to Ireland. And he's like, I have nothing left. It just makes no sense. I don't know.
He's desperate. He wants, he so badly, he had this idea in his head that, you know, was so attractive. I mean, have you ever had something that just seemed so sure and was just like, this is the answer? And then you realize how complicated it would be, and all that hope just starts draining from you. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy who thought he had the answer to get rid of his guilt, to get rid of his family, which has been nothing but a disappointment and a drain on him, to live a happy life somewhere
else.
Just
to be happy.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, some people will do anything to be happy if that's all they got left. And, he calls her. He's about to go in with Mick and all of them. He calls her and he's like, you know, hey, so we're going to go to Ireland. I got the money. Don't worry. Don't worry where it comes from. And I'm just like, it's obvious that you're doing something illegal, and no one hates crime more than Frances.
Well, you know, she's been suspect of the Donovans ever since the priest was killed. You know, she's, you know, but she loves Terry.
Yeah.
You know, she loves him. So I think she has turned a blind eye even to the murder. She you know, was saying, you know, I can't be around your brother, I'm scared of him. And at one point we thought she was going to maybe go to the cops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she loves Terry so much that she'll almost put up with, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
not put up, but, you know,
she's willing to shake the bad with
don't
the good.
Don't give me the dirty details, you know. You know?
Yeah, especially if it means that it's going to get him out of that life.
Out of that life.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
Huh? No, it's just the moral boundaries keep getting sort of blurred. Everybody's line in the sand keeps, all right,
and
well.
He has the most morals, is that proper? The most morals.
The most integrity of anybody.
Of everyone in the family, you know. But
not tonight.
They said love will make you do crazy things. You know, he loves her, and he'll do anything to be with her.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense. But I don't know that this is such a sure thing. This group that Mick's put together is such a...
ragtag crew.
Yeah.
He's got a guy that's like on his deathbed with emphysema and
oh god, he's just gonna keel over halfway through cracking that safe. I'm terrified of what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
and he's got his parole officer. I mean, yeah, it is pretty much
yeah, a prostitute.
Yeah,
and his son who hates him.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
yeah.
has Parkinson's.
Yeah, has Parkinson's. It's, who's the
it's
muscle?
It's a terrible idea. Yeah. It's just yeah,
yeah. We have to wrap up soon, okay. but we're gonna see you in the next two episodes of the season.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. How is Pi gonna feel about Terry's involvement in this crime?
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
I need you to stay tuned.
All right. Yeah. Well, Stan, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much
for coming down.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry I ran my mouth so much.
Oh, no.
No, we love
Absolutely.
It.
So do you have anything else you want to tell people about while you're here that's coming up?
I'm recurring on the new Tyler Perry series, If Loving You Is Wrong.
Okay.
Directing a play that will be going up later this year about the life of Martin Luther King. I just directed a play that was critically successful, called The Old Settler. So
wonderful.
Just trying to stay busy.
Okay. Yeah. And people can find you on Twitter.
WStanDavis.
WStanDavis.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anna Koppel, where can the people find you?
They can follow me at Koppel for Mayor.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find all my videos for SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd on YouTube. We just won a Streamy Award for Best News Show. So if you like news with a heap of help and a comedy, you can check us out there. I'm also here at AfterBuzz TV doing The Strain, The Nick, Doctor Who, a bunch of other stuff. Thank you all so much. See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.